line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle is raging. The game of man's soul or his loss. On one side march the forces of evil. All the demons and all the devils of hell. But on the other, the angels of glory, have they been on Golgotha's hill?
Force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine, for there hangs God's Son in the balance, and then
to today's broadcast of It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist K.L. Rich. Thanks for tuning in today. Today is Sunday, September the 13th of 2015. I pray that you are having a blessed beginning of the week so far, and that the remainder of your week will continue to be blessed as well. Before we begin today's Sunday Hour Power, I would like to invite you to visit me on my new website at www.klrichministries.com. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. On my website, you can listen to other ministry broadcasts, as well as get books for your entire family. And if you would like to donate to the cause of this ministry, you can also do so on the website as well. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. Now, we are I'm looking into some different things when it comes to broadcasting with you all. I'm looking into some broadcasting online segments, or rather companies, so that I can possibly put the actual link on my broadcast, instead of having you to go to a different website for his blog talk or whatever. I want to embed it onto my actual my actual website. And so I'm looking into getting that done. So just bear with me, because if you missed the broadcast, I just want you always be able to go to my website. Now, for right now, you can still go to my website. If you missed the broadcast and you go and you want to just listen to it. You can still go online to my website and listen to it, and I will have it in the archives. However, I want it to be where you can just go there live, so whenever I am, if I'm live, then you could just listen to it. Just click on the button and just actually listen to it live instead of having to go through any other links. So just bear with me. I'm working on that at the moment. All right. Again, we are on every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. And then on Sundays, just an hour power at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Central. And we just going over the Word of God on Sundays. Okay, and as always, please, we had a powerful prayer broadcast on Friday. And if you missed it, please go to my website again at www.klrichministries.com and click on the broadcast tab and listen to Friday's broadcast, because it was a powerful just a prayer with other pastors, watchmen, and apostles, and we had a real powerful broadcast on Friday to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as for ourselves, and the endurance of things that are just taking place in this world. And so we want to just keep each other lifted up in prayer, and for the revival of souls, because God is in a soul winning business. And even though a lot of things are going to transpire in this nation, God is still looking to save souls. And so we want to just do our part to evangelize to the lost, and also keep our fellow brothers and sisters lifted up. All right, we are going to, I have a song that I would like for us to just worship with, and It Is Well With My Soul, because today we're talking about judgment begins in the house of God, and we want everything to be well with our soul. We don't want God to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. And we're going to talk about why is judgment beginning at the house of God. And see, we have a lot of things that are transpiring in this nation, and a lot of things that Pastor Howard, when he was on, was talking about that briefly, was the things that are taking place in this nation. But a lot of that is due to the lack of the church being about their father's business and teaching the truth instead of prosperity, wealth, getting more money, and all of that. And yes, God has always wanted to bless his people, but then there comes a time when you're supposed, and this is all the time, is that we're supposed to make sure that we are a light unto the world. And if we're so busy talking about money, fame, and all the riches, but then we're not bringing people to Christ and to true repentance, then we're failing to do the job that we're ordained to do, and we will be judged for failing to do that job. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit later. All right, we are going to listen to It Is Well With My Soul. I pray that you open your hearts, open your minds into the things of God. And first of all, let's begin with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for allowing us to wake up one more morning, God. I thank you for the breath that you have given us in our limbs, in our bodies, allowing us, our limbs, to move and operate as they should, God. And I thank you for just everything, whether it's food, clothes, everything that you have supplied for us, Lord. I ask you, God, to whatever we have done against you, God, whatever we have done against our fellow brothers and sisters, I pray that you would forgive us, Lord. I pray that you would forgive us from all the sins and the wickedness and the unrighteousness that may reside within us, God, because we were all born in iniquity, and so we are not good within ourselves, but we are only made perfect through you. Lord, I pray and ask you to forgive us for the sins of this nation, God. We have committed sin against against you, God. We have done so much wrong against you, and the ultimate wrong of turning our backs against you, God, and not allowing you to reign supreme in our lives, God. And I ask you to forgive us as a nation, God. Forgive our leaders. Forgive our citizens. Forgive all of us, Lord, who have sinned against you, Lord. And I ask you, God, to help us as leaders, help us as Christians in the body of Christ, that you will help us to do our part, God, to help win the lost, God. But first, we must make sure that we are in alignment with you, God, so that we can help others. I ask all of this in your son's name, we pray. Amen. And we're going to just listen to this song, and I pray that it blesses you as well.
Oh,
well with my soul. And we want God to say it is well with our soul when he comes back to take us home. And we don't want to be found wanting because we did not do what we were supposed to do. And that is the Great Commission, and make sure that we not only tell others about Christ, but that we make sure that we are living the life as well before other people. And so why is it that judgment is going to begin at the house of God? Let's read where in the Bible where we read this text. And this is found, and if you read it with me, I'm reading out of the NIV. You can read out of the translation of your choice. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17. And it says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" And Peter here is telling the church, he was telling them to, you know, settle their disputes among each other within the body of Christ. Why should you have to go to an outside ungodly magistrate with or judge when we can, you know, settle the disputes, because we later on will be judging angels and different ones. But he was saying that the judgment begins with the body of Christ. And why is it? We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And that's, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or not." And so we're all going to appear before Christ. We're all going to be judged according to the works and the things and the thoughts and deeds that we have done. And some people believe, oh, well, we're going to have a second chance to get it right. No, there's no left behind where those who are left behind, they'll get a chance to have this great upheaval and rebellion against the dark forces. And no, whatever you're doing right now, whatever life you're living right now, that is going to determine where you go in the end. And so, especially for the body of Christ, the world is going to be judged by God, true enough, but the body of Christ, those who claim to be followers of God, is going to be judged. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 through 37, it says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So our words is gonna have a lot to do with where we go. Were your words godly? Were your words true? Were your words full of lies? Were your words full of falsehood? Especially for those who are leaders within the body of Christ. Did you speak the truth? You're judged by your words. Are you speaking the truth, or are you leading a congregation to error? And this is why it is so important for pastors and leaders and those consider themselves of the cloth to make sure that you're living in accordance to scripture in a way that God would have us to live, because it's not a game. It's not a game that God is playing with us. And I'm going to go to this other scripture. I'm trying to pull it up now. Hold on just a minute. I'm typing this in. Because God is, he's hell is such a serious thing that God does not wish for any of us to go there. But many people are going there, and it's because of our own actions. It's not because of something that God did. It's because we have not lived up to the standards, even in the body of Christ, especially the body of Christ. We have not lived up to the standards that God has called for us. And a lot of times you find people that want to say that they're Christians. They want to have the look of a Christian, but they are denying that. And I'm going to read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and starting at verse 1, and it says, here is a trustworthy saying: whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task, but the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of respect. And so these are things that God is requiring of those who lead. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall up under the judgment as the devil. Okay, so the devil is up under judgment. And so God is saying, you must make sure that you're aligning yourself up correctly, or you're going to fall up under the same judgment as the devil. And we don't want to fall up under the judgment of the devil. We're set apart. We're supposed to be set apart. And so this is why judgment begins at the house of God, because God gives us an outline for the things that he wants us to be, wants us to do, the ways that we're supposed to follow. And God wants us to be, again, a bride without spot or wrinkle. But if we're all dirty, then we can't witness to the world, because we're dirty ourselves. And so because we know better, then God requires us to do better. So why is there judgment? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears against the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And this is what Paul was given as instruction to Timothy. And we're supposed to teach this word. And it doesn't matter if you have a title or not. You know, yes, we have the fivefold ministry, which consists of apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets. However, the body of Christ is composed of many different parts, and all of us have a part to play in the role of God. So rather you have one of the fivefold ministries, whether you're part of the fivefold ministry, or whether you are, you might consider, well, I'm just a lay person, or I work in the church, I might be an usher or a greeter, or on the parking lot ministry, or whatever, or I might host Bible studies in my home. Whatever part you play in the body of Christ is relevant to the times that we're living in, because it's so urgent for us to get the message out in order to be able to win the loss. But the thing is, if we're not living the part, then God is going to judge us. Why? Because we're supposed to know better. We're supposed to set the example for others. And if we're not setting an example because we're living any other kind of way, then how is the world supposed to know what there's to do if we're not living the way that we're to do? It's just like a parent who might have a 14-year-old and they might have a 5-year-old. You're going to hold the 14-year-old more responsible, and that's if, if they have special needs, then that might be one thing if they're not able to comprehend. But if they're, what you consider as okay and, normal for their mental state and everything, you will hold a 14-year-old more responsible for things than you would the 5-year-old. The 5-year-old does not know as much as a 14-year-old. And so it's the same way with God. Once we have been introduced to God, once we know about God and know of Him and know what He requires for us, then He holds us to a higher standard. Too much is given, much is required. And so therefore He has given us His word. He has given us the gifts within the body of Christ, where we should have spiritual discernment to know what is right and what is wrong and what is required and what is not and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And so because we know better, then we are judged accordingly. And this is why judgment is going to begin at the house of God. Yes, the people in the world are going to be judged. However, if you are calling yourself, and if you're in the body of Christ and you are just living any kind of way and doing any kind of thing, then you are going to be judged accordingly. And that's why it's beginning with us. In the Bible, in Revelation, Jesus, he was talking to Laodiceans, and Laodicea, he told them that, I want you to be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out. He also told the churches, you have to be careful before I wipe out your candle, remove your candlestick. Your candlestick can be removed if you're not doing according to the will of God. You're claiming that you're a Christian. Some of them in biblical times were claiming to be Jews, but they were not. And it's not saying that, they were Jews of the actual bloodline. What it's saying is that you're calling yourself a Christian, but then you're not living like a Christian. What is a Christian? A Christian is a follower of Christ. So if we're followers of Christ, that means that we're supposed to be living as Christ did. Not just doing anything that we want to do. We're to live as Christ did and follow Christ's example. Now in Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it reads, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who, by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First the Jew, then the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism." Okay, so why does it emphasize first the Jew, then the Gentile? Okay, in biblical times, Jesus came, he was born through the Jews, okay? So the message was given to them first. However, they rejected it. Israel was constantly under rebellion time and time again. They were were God's chosen people, but his chosen people were always falling into rebellion. They were into idolatry, immorality, all kind of different things. So therefore, God gave the message to the Gentiles. And so therefore, God has no favorites. So he was like, I'm going to judge the Jew because they were my chosen people. They knew of me. They had me. I did miracle after miracle in front of them and helped them. And because they had this intimate connection with me, but then they turned their back on me, then that's why they're going to be held more accountable than the Gentile. So the same thing for us as Christians is that we know God. We know about God. Now, that personal relationship, whether you have one or not, that's between you and God. But it's not because you don't know. Okay, so no man can say, well, I did not know. No, you know. Well, everyone would be without excuse. No one would be able to say, well, I did not know the things of God. I did not know. You can't use that excuse before God, especially for those of us who are in the Christian faith. We know better. We know what God requires of us. And so therefore it is up to us to do accordingly. Now in Zechariah chapter 10 verses 2 through 5 it reads, the idols speak deceitfully. Diviners see visions that lie. They tell dreams that are false. They give comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wander like sheep oppressed for lack of a shepherd. My anger burns against the shepherds, and I will punish the leaders. For the Lord Almighty will care for his flock, the people of Judah, and make them like a proud horse in battle. From Judah will come the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, and from him every ruler. Together they will be like warriors in battle, trampling their enemy into the mud of the streets. They will fight because the Lord is with them, and they will put the enemy horsemen to shame. Okay, so what God is saying here, in Israel's time, the Israelites, they didn't want to hear what the true prophets had to say. They wanted to hear what comforted their ears. So they wanted, if a false prophet was saying, no, you're not going to go into captivity. See, the prophets kept warning Israel time and time again. Israel, turn back to God. Turn back to God. You had Isaiah. You had Jeremiah, Ezekiel. You had all of them, Hosea, different ones telling them to turn back to God, or they were going to be taken into captivity. However, Israel didn't want to hear that. They didn't want, instead of them humbling themselves and repenting and turning back to God and asking God for forgiveness so that he wouldn't issue the judgment, they had a hardened heart. And so they were like, well, I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to do this. I like what I'm doing. I like my sin. And I don't want to hear anybody who tells me anything other than that. And so therefore I'm going to get rid of this prophet who's not teaching and preaching and giving me the false visions. And you have that going on today. You have so many pastors that are misleading their flock from this feel good theology, living your best life and getting the wealth and the prosperity and name it, claim it, and all that and stuff. And God is saying, I need people to repent. You know, you're telling them to name it, claim it, and all of this kind of stuff. I need repentance. I need a humble heart. I need welling. I need people coming before me, praying for themselves, repenting of their sins and the sins of their loved ones and others who do not know God, and coming together as a nation. The reason the nation is in the shape it is now, because the church has failed to do her job. If we want to know, well, why is all this LGBT going on? Because the church has been silent. Instead of the church coming out against this stuff, the church has been endorsing it. I see a lot of people on Facebook and Christians call them, so they watching Scandal. They're watching all kind of evil things that's on television, promoting adultery, homosexuality, and you know the thing is that I used to watch soap operas and all of that, and it just, you know, something was like, this is not for you to watch. This is not glorifying God. And you know, I have my shows lined up, and you know, Monday nights I watch this, on Tuesday nights I watch that, on Wednesday, and it was not lining up with what God had for me. And then God started convicting me of the things that I was watching. And so, you know, I had all the movies and everything, but then God started doing a work in me and let me know, these are the last days. I need you out of that mess. And that's what it is. It's a bunch of mess. I need you out of that mess, because these are last days and time is short, and it's time to get serious about the work of God. And furthermore, when we're watching these things, we're watching, you know, adultery and cheering on the person who's doing it, and the lies, and you know, shows like I believe it's How to Get Away with Murder, and we were watching Empire, and I've never watched the show, but you know, I've heard about it, and you know, when watching all these things, we're giving way to the enemy. See, the enemy, some Christians feel like that, oh, because I don't go to the club, because I might not be sleeping around, because I'm not partaking in a lot of different things, that I'm okay to go. But no, the devil, he knows that you're not going to go to the club. So what he's going to do, he's going to bring the club to you. What am I talking about? The atmosphere that's in the club for us who used to go is lust, is greed, is you know, you're on the devil's turf. It you know, he's with the music and getting your mind all into things that you shouldn't, the drinking, and he's getting you with those little things. And some people feel like, well, I don't go to the club, so I'm staying away from it. But then the club is in your home, through your box, through your television. What am I talking about? The same thing that's at the club, the lust demon, is the same lust demon that's on the television screen. I might not go to a club, but then if I'm watching it on television, the same atmosphere is in your house through the television. And see, the devil, he's cunning. And so he was like, okay, well, they're not going to go to a club, but so they feel like they're okay, so they can avoid my lust demon there, but then I'm going to bring this on television. And so they're going to watch this, you know, the seduction on television. Okay, you might say, well, you know what? I don't condone homosexual lifestyle. So therefore, you know, I'm good to go. But then he'll have it on the program, half and half nots, and your favorite television program. And so where there you got homosexual couples. So even though they're saying that they're against homosexuality, but I'm actually bringing it into their homes. And so I'm still feeding it to them in their subconscious, even though they're saying they're not for it, but they're watching and they're entertained by it. And I'm making it so appealing that they have to come back to a week after week after week. Okay, so this is how the devil lures you in. He's not going to get you on the obvious. He's going to get you in the things that you think is sliding by when he's actually got you hooked. And so this is how the devil, he does it like a drug. You know, you don't have to tempt them with crack. I got another drug for him. I got a soap opera I want them to get hooked on. That's your drug. So he knows what everybody's flavor is. Oh, you know what? They don't go to the club. You know what? But I'm going to bring this song on the radio, and it's going to give them the same vibe that they would get in the club. The same high. You talking about that's your jam. I'm giving it to you through your radio, even in your car. Okay, the devil, he knows how to do it, and that's why he's so good at what he does, is because he doesn't come at us the way that we think. Yeah, most people won't go to a club, but then they listen to the same music through the radio. They might not go and commit adultery, but then they watching it through the television or through the books. How many Christians read 50 Shades of Grey? Okay. Okay, so that, you know, he getting them in other ways, and that's what he does. He find other ways to entrap us, and none of us are exempt from the trappings of the devil. None of us are. When you think you are, he got another one coming for you. So none of us are exempt, and that's why it's so important to stand on the word of God and pray. And this is why judgment is coming to us, because we know how the devil works. We know, and then we allow him to do it anyway. And so we can't allow that to happen. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, it reads, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under the curse of God. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of God." And what Paul is saying here is that, you see, you have a lot of teachers and you have a lot of Christians that are compromised because they don't want to offend anyone. They don't. They want to be politically correct. Judge not. Let me tell you something. I'm so sick of folks using that particular verse. Judge not. Judge not. Just had somebody do it the other day. Judge not. Judge. Let me tell you something. I had to tell the brother to read a little further down. You judge according to righteousness. Okay? Because we're supposed to hold each other accountable. And if you call yourself a Christian, by all means, we're supposed to be judging according to righteousness. That people use the judge not as a means to say, I don't say anything about anything. And therefore, this is why the world is in the shape it's in, because we want to be politically correct. We don't want to say anything. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want people to think that I'm being judgmental. We're supposed to tell the truth lovingly, but tell the truth. If God says it's a sin, it's a sin. It's not judging. It's saying that it is a sin. Now, the thing people don't realize, when Jesus was talking about that, Jesus was saying basically, get the plank out your own eye before you get the plank. Try to get the plank out your brother's eye. So we can't be living for the devil and then we think we're going to judge somebody else and tell them that what they're doing. We have to make sure that we're falling on our knees and we're repenting and we know the things that we have to get together, and then we can help somebody else. Okay, so when, you know, the Bible says that by their fruit you would know them. You know what an apple look like. You know what an orange look like. You know how to tell the difference. You judge between the two fruits. Okay, so you're not gonna try to make apple juice out of orange. You judge, okay, that's an orange. I need an apple. I need a red apple. I need a green apple. You judging between the fruits. So the Bible says, by their fruits you will know them. Okay, so it's not to say that we're not supposed to judge anything. That the only way you know what is right is by assessing the situation, assessing the person, assessing the doctrine, assessing the teaching. Okay, so in this it was saying that many were going to pervert the gospel, and you got a lot of pastors perverting the gospel all over the television. They are perverting the gospel. They're telling you, you know, they won't preach on the things of repentance. They won't preach on you know, for as the end times. They won't preach on getting your house in order. They won't preach on hell. Half of them, majority of them, won't even preach out of the book of Revelation. Won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Okay, they want to tell you the good things. They want to tell you, you know what, it's okay. Don't worry about anything. God's got you. You go for it. And people are running around the building shouting and stuff and don't have a bit of Holy Ghost power in them because they're being taught wrong. But the thing is that, can you use that as an excuse? No. No, we can't use that as an excuse. We have to still do our own studies. We have to still study the Bible for ourselves, because we will not be able to use any excuse. And so judgment, you know, people don't want to say that God is a judge, but God is a judge. Why is there going to be the book of life? If your name is not written in the book of life, that means that you're going to hell. And why won't your name be written in the book of life? It's going to be, you're going to be judged. And people don't want to talk about God's judgment, and there is a judgment. There's judge, you know, God is judging everything we're doing right now. Everything we're doing is being recorded right now. And why is that? Because it's for the ultimate judgment. And America itself is going to be judged way before the world as a whole be judged. The whole world is going to be judged. But America is going to be judged. And the churches, God's going to allow some things in the churches. See, this persecution we got going on with the body of Christ that's just beginning is separating the sheep from the goats. And you already got some churches that are bowing down. And you know they're in apostate condition because they're already bowing down before the heat even gets started, telling you what we're going to allow. We got some pastors that are already bowing down because they want to stay in the gray area because they don't want to offend anybody. And you have to be bold. God is looking for bold people that's going to proclaim the truth, that's going to proclaim what thus said the Lord. And we don't have time to be straddling the fence. We you know, Jesus came and died for us. And he died for us so that we can be bold, because he was bold when he died on the cross. He was shamed, spit on and whipped and beat. He went through that, all of that torment. He went through the degrading acts of all the things he went through was degrading. Why? So we can be bold. He was degraded so we can be bold in our stand for him. How dare we say we don't want to stand up for Christ when he stood up for us? And he's looking for soldiers, not wimps. He's looking for soldiers. Someone who's going to say, yes, Lord, I'll stand boldly for you. Yes, Lord. I don't care what people say. Yes, Lord. I got your back, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm going to do what you say and what you call me to do, regardless of if it's popular, if it's not, if they listen, if they don't. I'm just going to proclaim what thus said the Lord, regardless of what they say, because you died for me. And Jesus, he died for us. He went to the cross for us to be able to be bold. And we're going to listen to a song and we'll be right back.
Conquer the darkness and death. And
still cling to the old rugged cross, and it's all about the cross. Without the cross, there's no reason for our beliefs, and this is why God is holding us accountable, because he came and died for us. And I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 2, because our time is quickly going by. And it reads, 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, "But there will be false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has been long hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood onto his ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of lawlessness, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true for those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not heap abuse on such beings when bringing judgment on them from the Lord. But these people blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like animals, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for harm what they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you with eyes full of adultery. They never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and accursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty boastful words and are appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh. They entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are deprived. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were in the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverbs are true: a dog returns to his vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud." This is a lot saying here, is talking about the false prophets and those who they give you false doctrine out of their greed. So you have a lot of pastors, people, they know people aren't reading the word for themselves. Or if people were reading the words for themselves, they would be challenging these ministers. And furthermore, these ministers would not be even having the mass followers that they do, because people would be reading the word for themselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide them. Again, this is why judgment is going to be upon the house of God, because God gave us his word. He gave us access to the Holy Spirit. He allowed us to be able to know the things of him without us being fooled. But so many are fooled because of the false teachers. And it's because they want to hear what the false teachers are saying and the greediness of these teachers with their fabricated stories. And God is saying, I did not call you. You're misleading the people. They're bold and they're arrogant, and they don't have no shame in what they're doing. They have went after the way of Balaam, who was out for greed. He was wicked. He was following his greed. And this is what a lot of people in the body of Christ is doing, is following the greed. You got the leaders who are misrepresenting God through their greed, and then you got the people who are following them through their greed, because they're hungry for somebody to tell them, you're gonna get this and you're gonna get that, and you know, no one's gonna challenge them on their ways. Live as you want. God understands. You know, none of us is perfect, but you know, you're going to get this. So they want the blessings of God without changing their life to honor God. And so therefore they're living with their flesh. And the Bible says, you know, it's better for them not to have known than to go back and turn back to error. And this is why, again, judgment is beginning with the house of God, because so many in the body of Christ are failing to live up to what God has called us to do. But in Revelation chapter 21, verses 6 through 8, and we're going to be ending shortly, it reads, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, and those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. God is letting us know he's the beginning and he's the end. And those who are thirsty, what does it mean to be thirsty? Those who are hungry for God, he's gonna feed you. He's gonna give you that spring of water. So if you're hungry, God's not gonna let you be misled. If you're really searching after God, he's not gonna allow you to be misled. He's gonna open up your eyes. But you gotta be hungry. You gotta be thirsty. You gotta be desiring him. But if you're going after the ways of Balaam, if you're unbelieving, you're not wanting to believe the truth, murdering those who are telling the truth with your mouth, sexual immoral, you're partaking in the immorality against God, magic arts. What is magic arts? I'm not talking about just your witches. I'm talking about those who are using God as a lottery machine. You do this, he do that. Pulling them down like a lever, like you at a casino. Idolaters and liars, those who are lying in the pulpits, they will be consigned to a fiery lake of burning sulfur. And this is, again, judgment begins with us. And we don't want to be found wanting. See, the church right now, especially in America, is found wanting. Many churches within America is found wanting. And that's because they have refused the truth and sought to follow lies. But God is, he's, as long as you have breath, you have a time, you have that time to change. You can say, Father, forgive me. And let's say this prayer right now. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, or if you know you've been straddling the fence and have not lived according to the way God has wanted us to live, please say this prayer with me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Create in me a clean heart. And renew the right spirit within me. I accept Jesus into my heart today. Fill me, cleanse me, make me anew. I repent of all the sins I've done. I repent for failure to live for you in the way that I should, to stand up boldly for you. And I ask you, God, to accept me into your kingdom, to help me to change, to help me to be the bold watchman on the wall that you would have me to be. I ask all of this in your son's name, I pray. Amen. And if you have said that prayer, then welcome to the body of Christ. And if you are already in the body of Christ and you have said that prayer and you're saying today, I'm going to make sure that I'm not straddling the fence anymore, then God bless you. For those of you who have not been baptized, please find a Bible-based believing church. Be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and allow God to do a work in you. We will be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. And we are going to be just discussing the headlines. There's so much that's going on right now and letting us know that Jesus is soon to return. And that's why we don't want to be found wanting on the scales of God. We want to be found worthy in the end when he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I have put you ruler over a few things, but I'm going to make you ruler. You've been faithful over a few things, but I'm going to make you ruler over many." And so we want to just be ready for when Jesus comes, because he's going to one day say, "It is finished." And I invite you to visit me on my website at www.klrichministries.com. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. God bless you. Until next time.
Yet in my heart, the battle